The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come to and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was carried away. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Love and hate this passage. There's some great, great stuff in here. But I also feel like it's really easy to get caught up in some of the extra stuff that we heard Jade just read. So let me tell you a couple of things to start off with. One, some of this I learned this week when I was doing my research, and this was one of the biggest things. This is a story. When Jesus tells this story, it's a twist on what was already a well-known folktale to the people of this time. There was already a story about a man, poor man and a rich man, and heaven and Hades, I guess. And there's a twist here, because Jesus twists everything. But Jesus didn't, it seems, make up this story out of thin air. And I think there's something in that knowledge that's helpful. The second thing I want to point out is that the modern day image of heaven and hell that we talk about and that we believe, or that lots of people believe in, is not the same understanding of heaven and Hades that people in first century Palestine had. A lot of our modern day images of heaven and hell come from times after this. Hell, for instance, Dante's Inferno in the, somebody help me out here, maybe 5th, 6th century, something like that, really defined hell, even for the church, in ways that are not really described biblically. Hades, it refers in the reading to Hades, which is the Greek word, I'm sorry, it's the Greek word for the Hebrew word in the old, in the Hebrew scriptures, called Sheol. Sheol is not hell per se, but rather the place of the dead. It was where the dead went while they were waiting, in one spot, it said that where they go to await judgment, but I've heard it in other ways too. But it's not hell, it just seems to be kind of a place to be. So it doesn't necessarily mean suffering, although the rich man does speak of torment, which Sheol, as a rule, doesn't necessarily mean torture or torment, just rather a place where you go after you die. Perhaps there's some imagery of darkness around it, but doesn't tend to be, you know, hellfires and that kind of stuff. So with some of that explained, I want to suggest to you today that this story we hear of this rich man who remains unnamed, but it does talk about his purple cloth, which only very, very rich people could afford. It says that he feasts sumptuously every day. This man is filthy rich. And then we hear of Lazarus, who is the poor man, and surprisingly, is the one who is named. Of the two, normally the rich man would be named, and the poor man would be the unnamed person on the side of the road. But in this story, Jesus tells us the name of the poor man. So we have the rich man and Lazarus. And I really don't believe that this story is about heaven and hell. I really don't think that this story is supposed to make us worry or explain to us what the afterlife looks like. Jesus uses those images, I think, to teach a different lesson. So that's my theory. It might be that I feel strongly about this because I don't particularly worry a lot about the afterlife. I believe in it, but I really think that that's in God's hands and that I don't really need to worry about it. So I don't. I believe in grace, and so I figure that when the time comes, then God and I will figure that out together. But what I think this story is about life today. And helping us to realize that life today has an importance, right? I really do not believe that God put us on this earth to just whittle away the time until our time comes to die. I believe that the life that we live while our feet are planted on the earth matters, and that it makes a difference, and that it's worth something. If all any of us are trying to do is get into heaven at the end of this, then what is today worth? What is the value of a lifetime worth of anything? And I really struggle with the kind of Christianity that makes people just so focused on getting their ticket to heaven. Because then what is the value of now? You all have, you know, families and people who care for you and people you care deeply about, and you all have deep, rich meaning in your lives today. You don't want to be robbed of that meaning any more than I want to be robbed of that meaning, right? I work really hard every day to raise my children to be good and faithful people who will hopefully make a positive difference in this world. But I wouldn't have to do that if I thought that all I had to do was teach them the rules so that they'd get to heaven. Yeah? So then the question is, if it's not just about, you know, whether you earn your ticket or not, which, let's be honest, right? How many of us really would earn our ticket? Hence grace. Hence, not going to worry about it, because thank God that God has already taken care of that. So, yesterday, we went to see the shack. And some of you have seen it, not actually with me, but some of you have seen it otherwise. And I don't want to spoil it or anything like that. But there's a moment where the main character, Mac, looks to God and says, well, does anything really matter? Right? Does it make a difference what I do in my daily life, work and, you know, taking care of my family and stuff? Does it make a difference? And God looks back at Mac and says, absolutely. All of it matters. God says, if anything matters, then everything matters. And then Jesus makes a comment about how every good thing you do, every loving and kind thing you do changes the universe for the better. And that I think is what this story about the rich man and Lazarus is about. Right? This rich man, he enjoyed life. He was very rich. He had a great life. And he knew, he recognized Lazarus. Every day, he walked past him. But that's what he did. He walked past him. He saw him. But he never helped him. He was living his life. He was enjoying his good fortune. And not unlike today, in lots of cases, back then, the understanding was that, you know, people who are rich are in favor, right, with God, and the people who are poor must have probably done something to make God angry. And lots of people today still think kind of along those lines, right? The prosperity gospel, right? If you pray hard enough, God wants everybody to be rich, which I won't tell you exactly what I think of that, other than that it's blatantly false. So the rich man, he lived a big life, he lived a happy life, according to himself, right? And Lazarus lives, well, to call it humble is generous, right? Even the dogs came up and licked his sores, which you'd think is probably pretty humiliating, right? He's got it bad. And it doesn't even say, you know, when they end up in great places, Lazarus, he hasn't done any good, great deeds, but he suffered. Right? And the rich man, he didn't suffer a whole lot. And this rich man is left saying, oh, what do I do? And if I'm stuck here, we'll send Lazarus, which somehow he still thinks that, like, Lazarus should be his errand boy, right? Tell him to come down and bring me water. I'm kind of warm, right? And then says, well, if he can't bring me water, then send him to my people to tell them. Well, Lazarus is not your errand boy. And that's the response from Abraham is, they have Moses and the prophets. You had Moses and the prophets, and you chose to not listen. You chose to live a different way. And so that I think is the lesson. It's not about heaven and hell, or where we end up, or how, or who is where. It's about what we choose to do today. What we choose to do with what we have that can affect the world for the good in infinite ways. If we are honest, I recognize that none of us are going to say that we are rich, right? None of us are like the rich man who just does nothing but dine sumptuously every day. I mean, I get it, right? I'm not there either. But by the world's standards, we are a room full of very rich people. And we have to not lose sight of that, right? It's easy when we're paying bills and mortgages and, you know, putting kids through school and paying for daycare to remember, or it's easy when you're doing all those things to forget just how rich we are. But honestly, we're doing okay. We really are. And I really, really believe that this is true. That the more generous I am with what I have, the more I give away, the more often I give something without looking at, you know, how everything exactly is going to balance out, the more it works out. And seemingly in my favor, right? The more times I give a candy that I really want to keep to somebody who doesn't have a candy, the more often I find candy, right? More often I find a $5 bill that's in my pocket that, where did that come from, right? And how exciting is that? Like, don't we all know that, right? What? $20 bill in my pocket. The more generous we are, the more we affect good and positive change in this world. And those little things that we do, they have ripple effects and they turn into very, very big things. So, as we listen today to this story of the rich man and Lazarus, I urge us to not just take that leap and to get kind of stuck in the thinking of whether I'm living the kind of life that's going to get me to heaven or living the life that's going to get me to hell. Because Jesus did that, right? Jesus took care of that. You don't need to worry about that. And I really want you to not worry about that. Because if you're worrying about that, then you're not going to spend that energy worrying about what you're doing today, right? I don't want you to keep a tally or earn points, or because in the end, it's going to look bad. What I want you to do is spend your energy thinking about today and what your work is in the world today, and how you can change the world today. How you can look to Jesus for an example of selfless giving, of generosity, of welcoming the person who, by all accounts, does not deserve to be welcomed, of loving a neighbor. That is what I want you to do today. Learn from the rich man. and learn from Lazarus. Humility. It's okay. Suffering. There is no escaping that in our world. Not one of us can escape times of suffering. And we all have known it. We all have had moments in our journey of deep pain. But those are the moments where we are closest to God. And think about it, just how fortunate you are, how rich you are, and how you can do something with that to change the whole world for the better.